You're listening to the July 29th episode of Cheesehead Radio, episode 1.4, Cheeseheads Unite. Tonight's guest bloggers are Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky of CheeseheadTV.com.
Reach the eye.
A great run by Edgar. He's got half the team jumping into the stand.
Reach. Super Bowl or die.
Or die.
Or die.
Or die.
Or die.
You are listening to Cheesehead Radio.
Hey, who is this?
This is CD.
CD, alright. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, Jersey Al here.
Oh, Jersey Al!
I bet that's Holly.
Who is it?
Yes.
Yeah! Hey, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who is it?
It isn't the Glenn Beck show.
Oh, man.
Glenn.
Hey!
I'm hanging out.
Cheesehead Radio.
What the heck is going on, Green Bay Packer Nation? I got to tell you, I am sitting here live in Green Bay looking out my window, and there in front of me is the glorious Lambeau Field. That's right. Came here today. Fresh off the shareholders meeting, you want to know what went down? We're going to tell you. Who reported for training camp? Who was absent? We're going to talk about that. All these questions we're just going to discuss, including our time today at Lambeau with our very special guest bloggers, Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky, straight from Cheesehead TV. We're going to have the news with Jersey Al. We're here with CD Angeli. Holly Phelps from the Other 31, of course, myself, Alex Selich from the Packers Lounge at Cheesehead TV. We have so much to talk about tonight, it's not even funny. So, as always, without further ado, here's the man of the hour, the man from Green Bay himself, the venerable CD Angeli. What's going on, CD?
Not much there, Alex. It is a great day to be a Packer fan. Finally, it's like opening days here. I mean, training camp is the guys are coming in tomorrow. This is what we've been waiting a long time for. Are you guys excited for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Words cannot explain.
Yeah. Alex, you were at the game. You were at the shareholders meeting today.
I was sitting smack dab in the front row center, and it was awesome.
Yeah. This is a day where I think it's really hard to not be super optimistic about the season. I mean, it's such a rah-rah day. You get to see Uncle Ted and Mark Murphy and Roger Goodell shows up, and it's just such an exciting day. I'm stoked. I'm stoked. You looking on the Twitter, you're seeing all the Packer players are stoked. They're ready to go. I think we're ready to go with Packer news. How about you guys?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, CD. The Packers made more progress this week in the area of player signings. Mike Neal agreeing to a four-year contract, and our buddy Atari Bigby finally signing his tender offer. The Packers are only a Brian Bulaga signature away from having every player ready for camp. Bulaga has indicated he plans to be in camp on time, but then again, so did B.J. Raji last year. This one feels different, however. Bulaga was not as high a pick as Raji was, and Dez Bryant, the player selected right after him, is already under contract, so there's little else to wait for. All the pieces are in place, and I believe as soon as the Packers put today's shareholder meeting day behind them, Bulaga will be signed on Friday or Saturday. Hey, that would be like going back in time. First day of training camp and nobody's holding out.
I tell you, it's been fun watching the guys on Twitter. It's like roll call in school. Present! I'm here!
Everybody chiming in.
Exactly. Well, speaking of attendance, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell joined 10,000 Packers shareholders today for the annual shareholders meeting at Lambeau Field. And he took fan questions and talked about wanting a new CBA that's fair for everyone and a system where every team can compete. He also talked about players wearing more equipment, not less, And he mentioned that 2012 would be the earliest that the league would move to an enhanced 18-game schedule. Now, he also said that stopping unruly fan behavior is a concern of his. And among the Packer fans, there were some odd, though perhaps not unruly, requests. One female fan asked for a hug, which Goodell agreed to. Another asked the burning question of the day, which is brats or burgers? And Goodell neither hemmed nor hawed. He said brats, with a few beers as well.
Wow. Hugs, brats, and beers. Everything a commissioner could want.
Exactly.
What else is there? Bill Huber this week of the Packer Report concluded his rankings of every Packers player in order of importance. While numbers 1 to 3 were easy, Rodgers, Woodson, and Matthews, Huber pulled what I would consider a major surprise by listing Al Harris as number 4, followed by Greg Jennings. Huber points out that the Packers' secondary struggled mightily after Harris went down. While nobody can dispute that, it sure didn't help that Will Blackman and Pat Lee were also out for the season, forcing Jared Bush, Josh Bell, and rookie Brandon Underwood to play important roles. While I have a great appreciation for Mr. Harris and his dedication to the Packers, I just can't put him ahead of Nick Collins, Cullen Jenkins, and possibly even JerMichael Finley.
Maybe, but you know, Al, I'd love to see him spend the season proving you wrong.
Oh, I'd love that too,
Holly. I really would.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, what else? This week, Aaron Rodgers gave fans a glimpse at what's on his mind as he prepares for the upcoming season. Rodgers was quoted as saying, "The important thing for us going into the season is going to be, let's get 5 guys in place up front who we feel good about, and let's get 5 guys behind them we feel good about as well. We have the opportunity to not have a lot of shuffling." And Rodgers was, of course, talking about the Packers' maligned offensive line. And he wants stability. And McCarthy has indicated that that will be a major point of emphasis in camp. And as Monty Python would say, among Packer fans, there was much rejoicing.
You're so right, Holly. I say keep 10 linemen, put the best two at each spot, and off we go. Packers running back coach Edgar Bennett had some interesting comments about what he considers the most important responsibilities of his running backs. Ball security and protecting the quarterback, those are priority 1 and 2, said Bennett. Those two areas equate to wins and losses in the NFL. Bennett was then asked, "That's more important than running the ball productively?" To that, Bennett replied, "Running the football, certainly it's important, but as far as our mindset, we want to make sure we keep our quarterback standing upright, and when we get the football, we protect the football." Well, pretty obvious now why the Packers are so enamored with Ryan Grant and Brandon Jackson.
Back in the 90s, I was pretty enamored with Edgar Bennett. But I think he's done really well with Grant and Jackson as a coach. It's nice to see.
Ah, that must mean it's time for news from the Packers Twitterverse. Twitter followers of Packer rookie Mike Neal found out before anyone else that he had agreed to terms with the Packers. Neal hinted at the impending signing in a tweet to fellow rookie Brian Bulaga, telling him, "You're up soon, big guy." Bulaga asked if the deal was done, and Neal replied, "Let you know in about 2 hours." Sure enough, a bit later, Neal told the Twitter world he was officially a Green Bay Packer. See that? Twitter actually can be useful.
Quicker than SportsCenter and straight from the source. Very nice. Well, along with breaking news, Twitter has become the place for breaking controversy. This week's debate has centered on rookie hazing after Cowboys rookie Dez Bryant refused to carry Roy Williams' pads to practice. Now, there was a lot of hubbub, and several Packers players weighed in on the discussion, including one Aaron Rodgers. QB1 said that rookies need to show respect to the older guys who've been in the league a while. And he added that while no one in Green Bay would get taped to a goalpost or physically abused in any way, they could expect to help the veterans with errands or other tasks. And the Packers rookies were clearly listening. Mike Neal responded with a swift yes, sir. And Brian Bulaga, well, he said, it's all in good intentions and team bonding type things. Every rookie has to endure it, and it's harmless.
Well, I'm glad to see the Packers rookies get it, Holly.
Absolutely.
And finally, Nick Barnett, the king of all Packers players on Twitter, expresses excitement for the upcoming season as only Mr. Barnett can. To no one in particular, in a totally random sort of way, Barnett tweeted, I think I just got a boner thinking about the season. Well, Nick, the host here at Cheesehead Radio, with the noted exception of the lovely Holly Phelps, know exactly how you feel.
Oh, his tweets are priceless, I tell you.
Yep, and that, folks, was the Packers tweet of the week.
So, tell me, if Nick Barnett is the king of Twitter, what does that make JerMichael Finley? Is he the prince?
Not a bad analogy.
I would say so. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our new weekly feature. It is the Cheesehead Radio Rant of the Week. This time coming to you from the one, the only, Jersey Al Bracco.
Thanks, CD. I'm here today to talk about a Packers player who's been getting a lot of attention lately. No, not Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about JerMichael Finley, good old TGIF. He's been easy to find lately, appearing on ESPN's First Take and on the Green and Gold radio show with Jason Wilde. Seems he's made top five on everyone's fantasy football rating. He's been called a breakout star, and he's been applauded everywhere for some newfound maturity. Well, as Meatloaf once sang, two out of three ain't bad. It seems that despite what Packers coaches are saying about his improved maturity around the team, JerMichael still doesn't know what it takes to be a stand-up guy with Packers fans. He loves tweeting about his pedicures, his workouts, and his great wife. He also likes to say how great Packers fans are. But when it comes to keeping promises to those fans, he falls flat on his face. Over 3 months ago, Finley was working on increasing his Twitter followers. He put out a couple of trivia questions on Twitter and promised prizes for the first person with the right answer. Two lucky people answered the questions correctly. One was promised a jersey and the other game-worn gloves. Well, to this day, neither has received his prize, and their repeated attempts to collect their prizes are now getting the cold shoulder from Finley. Now, in the interest of fairness, Finley did initially appear to have good intentions. He followed both winners on Twitter so they could direct message him their addresses, but that's as far as it got. In at least one case, Finley claimed to have lost the address. Then he suggested contacting his agent. That went nowhere, and repeated messages to Finley are now being completely ignored. Now, I know this was an official contest with official rules, but in my book, if you're a stand-up guy and make a promise like this, you keep it. Now, I really want to give you the benefit of the doubt, JerMichael. Maybe there's a good reason why you haven't sent the items. Maybe you didn't have them handy and are waiting for camp to start. Maybe your agent is at fault. I'm willing to believe whatever your excuse is, if you would at least let these guys know. You're still following both of them, so you have their Twitter name. Instead of tweeting some nonsense today, type a few words to these guys. Let them know why you haven't or can't keep your promise. To just leave them hanging like that is just plain immature. It would take minimal effort to fix this. JerMichael, you need to man up and do the right thing.
Nice rant.
Now that was a rant.
That was a good rant. Totally true, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Totally
didn't
true.
Even,
we have
didn't even harp on, you guys didn't
nope.
even harp on the TGIF.
No. No.
I like
keeping that out of it.
So maybe instead of being the prince of Twitter, we can come up, you know, and be like the Duke or the Joker or something like that.
Dare I say princess?
Oh,
well, with pedicures, you know.
Yeah, I know. He's just a boy. Like, Like he said on the like you're saying on the live channel, he's just still a boy. God knows what I was to age, but it wasn't anything good. As long as you can catch
some action
stuff
on the live chat tonight.
There are a few people in there.
We got quite a few actually. They're pretty active.
The jackass of Twitter. They're coining him already. That's kind of funny.
Well,
the jackass of Twitter. That was John Rehor.
Extra point. Report.
All right, we're at the extra points portion of our show. I'm the narrator today. Here's where we throw out a couple questions. We ask our panelists to give their opinion. Third guy comes in, breaks the tie, gets some arguing going. Want to hear you on the live chat, too. What you think? Extra point number one, offensive line. Got to talk about it. The Packers have adequately addressed the offensive line issues of last year. Yes, no touchdown interception. Have at it, people.
Oh, I'll take this. I'll take this. This is a Week 14 Ryan Grant against the Bears. First play of the game, 62-yard gallop to the end zone for me. And, I mean, this is a no-brainer. I mean, just 2 minutes ago, we were talking about what Aaron Rodgers said about this, and I think that he said it best. You know, if you look at the problems the Packers had at the beginning of last year, one of the reasons for the facts is because the best five players weren't on the field. And guys like TJ Lang and Darren College throughout the season were asked to play multiple positions because of need and injury. Right? And if you look at the roster now, you've got five veteran guys who are clear starters. And you'll have competition among the other guys to be the five guys who are the clear backups. I don't really know what else anybody could ask for at this point.
Well, let me jump in there because I'm going to take an interception on this one. It's not going to be like a big, you know, Week 14 interception. It's a little one, though, because, you know, we always want to be optimistic this time of year. But the Packers have added really one offensive lineman in Brian Bulaga. He's a rookie. He's a fantastic talent, and I'm looking forward to him being a part of the Packer universe for many, many years. But it's very difficult for us to count on a rookie to really be a starter and a contributor this year. And he's not going to be asked to, and hopefully he won't be asked to, assuming Tauscher or Clifton get hurt. The Packers, according to Cold Hard Football Facts, ranked 20th in the league last year in negative pass plays. Ted Thompson has, in six drafts, he's brought in 12 offensive linemen. That's enough to make two full offensive lines. And yet there are three holdovers from the Sherman regime starting on the line this upcoming year. One of the guard positions is taken up by Josh Sitton. The other guard position, who's it going to be? Spitz? College? Lang? We have no idea. And I'm not trying to say that the talent isn't there, but I think it's hard for us to say that both Tauscher and Clifton are going to improve their game. It's not likely at their age. You know, they're going to be able to hold a position for a while, but we've got to expect some of these guys to step in. Talent may be okay. I'm starting to think maybe it's finally time for the scheme to change, and maybe this is not a zone-blocking offensive line. Maybe that's what we have to look to fix the issues with last year.
Interception, CD. All right, Jersey Al, you got to break the tie. CD had a lot to say. What did you say?
Well, I've got to back up Holly on this one, Alex. I've got to go with the touchdown. The Packers signed the two best free agent options at offensive tackle out there, namely their own players. They drafted two linemen, including a number one pick, and they brought in the two most coveted undrafted offensive linemen out there, Nick McDonald and Chris Campbell. If for no reason other than sheer numbers, the Packers have made a big splash on the offensive line, and there are currently 15 players in camp competing for most 10 spots. Whether it all pans out the way they want remains to be seen, but they've certainly done enough to address the situation.
Fair enough,
Al. Over quality,
well,
I don't know.
If you listen, If you listen to Cheesehead Radio and everything we say and believe it like you should, we're fine on the offensive line, according to these guys. Moving on. By the way, Aaron Nagler says, CD, you have absolutely no love for Newhouse.
I never
just so you know. Extra point number two. Oh, good one, too. My favorite tight end of all time, Donald B. All right, guys.
Awesome.
Donald B. will be the odd man out in the Packers tight end battle. Touchdown or interception?
All right, I'm going to take the touchdown on this one, too. Except it's not the Ryan Grant touchdown. It's that fourth and goal touchdown that he dropped against the Vikings that later on Spencer Haefner caught. Think about it. On the roster, we've got Finley, Lee, Haefner, and Corliss. And tight ends, usually, in the Packers scheme, have three jobs. They're quasi-linemen who block for runs and deep passes. They're quasi-receivers who can run routes underneath in the slot, or if you're JerMichael Finley, outside the numbers. And they're pivotal special teamers. Okay, Finley has far and away better hands. Haefner has far and away better skills as a special teamer, and he has better hands in the end zone, as we have figured out this last season. If the Packers only take two tight ends, Corliss can be stashed on the practice squad if he makes it that far. And that's kind of doubtful, given his potential. And the Packers are certainly not going to give up on a rookie before he's even had a chance to play. Lee is set to make over $2 million this year, but has had a fraction of the production that Finley's had, who at $390,000 is playing for a fraction of his cost. I don't see him staying.
Touchdown, Holly. Interception,
I think Holly
anyone?
Just likes I think Holly just likes scoring touchdowns, that's all. But in any case, this is an interception for me. But the interception with a 30-yard return, but the return gets brought back because of a penalty. So basically, it's a mixed bag. Ever since the Packers drafted Andrew Corliss, I've had this one crazy thought in my head. The tight end position could be this year's fullback position. Of course, what that means is the Packers keeping four tight ends instead of the usual three. If you think about it, the situation is very similar to last year. They drafted Quinn Johnson in the fifth round, found him to be raw but with a great upside. He wouldn't have lasted on the practice squad. Not wanting to lose him, the Packers keep the veteran fullbacks with special team roles, and they keep Johnson. This year, they draft Andrew Corliss, also in the fifth round. Also a raw talent that another team would surely grab if the Packers leave him exposed. Corliss is not ready to contribute this year, so the Packers keep four tight ends, including the veteran Lee, who also has a special teams role. The Packers have shown before that they're not afraid to pay veterans as backups, so I say don't be so quick to assume Donald Lee is gone. The odds are not great, but the Packers and Donald Lee just could surprise everybody here.
Interesting take.
Maybe.
Who you got, CD? Holly, Al, touchdown, interception, Donald Lee.
I don't know if it's possible to choose waffling, but I'm not going to say an interception. I'm going to say a fourth and one turnover on downs against Philadelphia in 2003 here. It's just too hard for me to expect Corliss to really come in and compete. I'm not saying anything against his ability, and I really do see him being a tremendous compliment, if not a clone of Finley. He's got tremendous athletic ability. He's going to be a threat in the receiving game someday. And I do think Corliss is going to spell the end of Donald Lee someday. I just don't think it's going to be this year. Lee's numbers are declining, and his drops are definitely going against him. But you don't underestimate veteran savvy. We're not keeping Clifton and Tauscher on the roster for no particular reason. They're veterans. They know what they're doing. The other problem is that both Finley, Corliss, and Haefner, none of them are particularly strong at blocking. They're very good at blocking. They're all developing. But Lee obviously brings a little more veteran savvy to there. I think that's going to be the tiebreaker. I agree with you, Al. I think it's going to be just like the fullbacks. I think Havener's the odd man out. I think they're going to keep Finley. I think they're going to keep Lee.
kind of think they're going to stash Corliss, kind of like they did Quinn Johnson last year.
All right.
All right. Well, I don't know if we got anywhere there. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. One injury away, the whole thing changes. Final extra point before we take a little bit of break here. Interesting question, one that everyone's probably thinking too. Al Harris, the Packers secondary is good enough to operate Capers' full playbook without Al Harris on the field. Touchdown or interception?
I'll take touchdown on this one, although it pains me a little bit because we saw how the secondary seemed to struggle last year when Al Harris went out. But you got to think about it. You got Charles Woodson. He's the defensive player of the year. You got Nick Collins, who's a Pro Bowler. Atari Bigbee, Tremont Williams are adequate starters at worst. They're good players when healthy. I don't think the problem lies with our secondary. I think our problem lies in our pass rush. If our pass rush, especially against the Cardinals in the playoffs last year, had been more effective, there had been a lot less pressure on the defensive backs to be running back and forth trying to cover these wide receivers. The only player who put any pressure on Kurt Warner, who I think was, what, 53 years old, was Clay Matthews. And he was double-teamed. There was no pressure from that defensive line. Now, is there – and this was against a an offensive line that was ranked 18th in offensive hog index by Cold Hard Football Facts. I really think you're going to see more pressure coming with the switch from Raji and Cullen Jenkins and Ryan Tickett, with Raji taking the nose tackle. That's going to be the critical thing for me, not the secondary.
Touchdown, CD. Interception, Al or Holly?
I'll jump in with the interception. Although this isn't anything special interception for me because I'm not sure there are many interceptions in this group. This is just a matter of too many question marks for me. When the Packers did add safety Morgan Burnett, who has looked good in OTAs, he is a rookie, and we haven't seen him with the pads yet. You have Will Blackman coming off an ACL injury and learning a new position. You have Tremont Williams getting thrust into a starting role, which he handled with mixed results last season. The much-maligned Atari Bigbee coming off of two injuries and a disappointing season. The always-injured Pat Lee, who we have no evidence to prove can really play. The still-immature Brandon Underwood, who did show some signs of improvement down the stretch. Josh Bell, who looked overmatched in his limited playing time last season. And, of course, everyone's favorite penalty machine, the man who couldn't find a ball in the air if you gave him satellite radar, Jared Bush. Does any of that sound promising to you? I ask you, does any of that sound promising? I was hoping to see the Packers' best cornerback in the draft, but I'm not complaining about who they picked. Let's just hope Capers can get the Packers' defense to generate a consistent pass rush. Otherwise, this could be a bad case of deja vu.
Talk about a doom merchant. Holy cow. What do you got to say about that, Holly?
Well, for me, this is one of those, you throw it up at the end of the half and there are eight guys in the end zone and four of them are yours and four of them are theirs and you're not really sure who's going to come down with it. I mean, I think the article in the Maple Street Annual or a recent article with Charles Woodson was talking about how he definitely preferred life when he could play sideline to sideline, and that after Al Harris went out, he was stuck on the corner again. You know, for me, I think that the key in this is Tremont Williams. I mean, he had a good third of the season at starter opposite Woodson, and I think that, you know, with the exception of that, you know, the flag-filled mess that was the Baltimore game, I think he did a pretty good job. And from where I sit, you got to have hope. And maybe it's just today because, you know, it was the shareholders meeting and everybody is feeling very high on the team. But I think that a full off season with the knowledge that, you know, that he was the starting guy until Al came back, I think that it'll do wonders for his confidence and his game. And I think that he will be good enough at that other corner to let Woodson have a little bit more freedom. I'm hopeful that all of the other contributing players can step up and perform and not all be the worst case scenario. Like, you know, all stub their toe at the same time and be out until Christmas. So I think that I'm going for a touchdown on this one. It's more of a wing and a prayer type of a play for me.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Let's just hope he comes back at some point. That's going to do it for our extra points. We're going to take a small break, and then we are going to be back with everybody's favorite people, Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky from Cheesehead TV. Stick around.
This is Max Ginsburg, PurplePantsGreenJersey.com, and you're listening to the best Packer talk around on Cheesehead Radio.
Mother of Mary. Fudge!
Oh, man, I got my desk stuck again in the bathroom, and I really have to go. What am I going to do? Oh, man.
Martha! Help me! Martha! Frank? Oh, Frank, you have to quit taking your computer into the bathroom. Here, honey, take this Maple Street Press Packers annual I bought you at MapleStreetPress.com.
Gee, that's swell, Martha. The Maple Street Press Packers annual has everything. It's got Aaron Rodgers, breakdowns, and great writers.
Oh, boy!
Look, Aaron Nagler, Ryan Caribou,
oh, Tom Pelissero.
Golly gee, I gotta go. Oh, man, I feel better. Thanks, Maple Street Press. Your Packers annual was outstanding. It's everywhere I need to go.
Father of the Week.
Well, the title of this week's episode is Cheeseheads Unite, and we here at Cheesehead Radio are honored and bemused to have with us online, on the air everywhere, the two co-founders of Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky. Are you guys with us tonight?
Yeah, I'm here. It's Corey.
Hey, it's Aaron.
Hey,
how
Corey.
Hey!
Woo, Corey!
Hey! I have two things to say. The one is about Jersey L. Jersey L's taking my rants. What's going on here? I don't know what's happening. I was like, oh, it's time for my rant. Oh, it's Jersey L.
There was a void.
We only steal from the best, Corey. We only steal from the best.
I gotta give an interception to the offensive line, and I heard CD talking trash about Tremont Williams. So those were my three things, and you know those things are you know that's all I have to say. Just kidding.
He's bringing the heat. He just got on the show.
Holy cow! Well, then he couldn't resist the rant. Except the rant was about us.
You know who's bringing the heat is Aaron Nagler though with his post today. So I'll let him. Let him talk about it though.
Oh, you need to stop with that.
Yeah, let's talk about
it
how much
like
you hate Roger Goodell now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What was that about Roger Goodell?
Let's talk about how much you hate Roger Goodell now.
Oh, I don't.
The man,
hate
you
Roger
shared
Goodell
salad with.
All. I don't hate Roger Goodell whatsoever. He's a fine gentleman. He's got great ideas for the NFL. I just wish he would share some specifics, you know, in public, or even if not in public, with the Players Association. You know, I know we're talking all about optimism, and you know, we're on the cusp of another great season. But with the CBA looming over 2010, it would go a long way to engendering some fan faith, or it would have. Today for Goodell to at least delve into some bit of specifics, any number of the questions he was asked by the many fans he got a chance to speak with. But instead, we were treated to platitudes and generalities, and, you know, it more and more as the labor discussion draws on, I think it's pretty clear that the NFL's entire purpose here is to run the clock out, so to speak. They want to get to, this time next summer, and then they're going to basically give the players a take-it-or-leave-it offer. Mm-hmm. And the players will have one of two choices. They'll have to decertify, or they will have to essentially take the offer that's on the table due to some very obscure labor laws that I won't go into, because that will instantly become the new CBA in effect. So I think that it's becoming clearer and clearer, because I really was looking forward to today, because I really like the idea of the commissioner reaching out to fans, and I think that is a great idea. I just think it was a real opportunity missed, and I was very, very disappointed.
Well, and I think it's interesting that they didn't talk about the CBA for 45 minutes, and then almost the first five questions were about the CBA, and fans want to know. And I think it's a little pathetic in Green Bay to come here and not really lay out your plan and just say, oh, you know, Aaron loves to make fun of me because I talk about the Los Angeles Packers, you know, and I think it's ridiculous, and I think it could happen.
Well, I don't know if it could happen, but I think what was interesting today is that, I was talking to Brian Caribou about this afterward. It's really interesting that they had the presentations from every group, the foundation and the marketing and whatnot, and they went through every single group, and two or three times there was specific mentions made in the presentations about keeping the Packers in Green Bay where they belong. Now, I don't remember, and I'm a pretty big geek about this kind of stuff, I don't remember anybody anywhere reporting anything or even any rumblings about possibly, lack of a CBA could, cause the Packers to move. The only place we've heard that posited is on Packer Transplants by Corey Behnke. Now, I don't think that would – I know that would never happen. But the fact that they threw that in there – that was obviously scripted.
Yeah, it's part of their move. I mean, basically what they're doing is they're pushing the line all the way to the edge. It's like when you go to a bazaar and you buy the rug and you're like, I'll give you a dollar for it. Or the bazaar market person's like, you know what, give me $300 when they really want $10 for it. The NFL's pushing the line all the way to the end and making it seem to the fans as if they've got everything taken care of when they really don't. And all they're going to do at the end of the day is force the players to lock out and try to make the players look bad.
What I love is that right after you said, when you go to a bazaar and you buy a rug, I was totally lost. But it's
really
good.
Oh, I got it.
When I finished it, you figured it out. So.
I'm sure you did, Holly. I'm sure you did.
Oh, haggling is so much fun.
So, in you guys' honest opinion, do you think we're gonna have football in 2011 after what you heard today? Did it change your mind?
I think we will. I think they will. I don't think the players will have a choice. The fact is the NFL holds all the cards. The one chance, the one minuscule chance the players have is the lawsuit they brought regarding the television contract, and that's it. That's their one shot. If they can somehow convince, the judge that this is the case, then they have a shot. They have a shot to actually bring the NFL to the table, because the NFL is holding all the cards, and that's the biggest one. That's the ace, But if they can win that, then the NFL will be forced to actually negotiate in good faith. Because right now they have no plans to negotiate in good faith. All they want to do is run the clock, and that's it.
There were two other new pieces of news that I found very bad too. One was that they're continuing with this atrocity they call G-Force. Okay, and the really
great.
The sad part was that they actually quoted the ESPN magazine article, which I know was just pasted from somewhere. And so Mark Murphy quoted it. The other thing was that the investment guy for the Packers said that over 2 years we've lost -1% and called that breaking even. And I was like, 1% of $100 million I'm pretty sure is $1 million. And I don't think anybody would call that breaking even.
Very interesting.
Thing, but I forgot it.
But wait, you had it. But Corey had an excellent idea for generating additional local revenue.
Well, you can make $3 or $4 million on cheerleaders alone.
I was waiting to see somebody bring up cheerleaders.
Everybody
anybody
knows
ask
that?
That?
No, I wish. I wish they would have said, yeah, we're going to take away G-Force and bring back bring cheerleaders to Green Bay for the first time.
Mm-hmm. So there was a star-studded cast today for you guys down there as far as the press and everybody else around. Before you go into any more specific details about what you heard or any news, anything exciting happened for you guys today that was just like, wow, I can't believe that this is going on right now?
I mean, overall, I thought it was a pretty exciting. It was exciting for us. The problem with Aaron and I is that we're very jaded, and as soon as we're allowed to have access, we're like all of a sudden reporters, which is really funny because we both were like, instead of being fans about the whole experience, we were like, oh, we have a responsibility, which in the end of the day, I think is very good. I mean, Brian too. I mean, we got to meet a lot of beat reporters. We got to, although I was too chicken to meet Bob McGinn, so obviously.
Bob McGinn, I'm telling you, when I was in Indy for the combine. He has, like, a magical power. Like, I swear to God, you stop in your tracks. You can't, your tongue is tied. There's just nothing you can do. The man is, keeps me in awe.
I mean, it was amazing.
I do have to say, this is great. We were, like, it was after the meeting, and we were tip-tapping away at our computers in, like, this is a media room. And then Bob McGinn walked by, and Corey literally leapt up from his computer and went, Bob McGinn, dude, Bob McGinn. And just, like, started... after him.
We were in the press conference room, and I really wanted him to start yelling at the commissioner or at Mark Murphy, not because of what they were saying, but because, of course, he's infamous for the Brett Favre interview and yelling at Ted Thompson to explain himself. But, yeah, the man is pretty amazing, although he doesn't like bloggers very much, I've heard. So.
Yeah, no,
his blogger's going down.
I think that's one of the other things that's probably kept me from introducing myself. But what are you going
to do? Maybe I'll call him.
Well, Corey, you know that the first time that you meet him in person, he's going to say, oh, you are the guy who stood up and just said, Bob McGinn, Bob McGinn.
Exactly. Hopefully.
Speaking of Ted Thompson, what was up with him today? It was like a stand-up comedy act.
Did you guys catch that?
It was amazing.
It was crazy, dude.
He was like, I don't say anything, and I'm funny.
It was crazy. He was cracking one-liners, ripping on himself. I don't know what you thought about that, but that was the main part.
I was shocked. I got to tell you, I was shocked. I was totally shocked. I thought maybe he got new writers or something. I don't know.
Maybe
what
he got
meeting
the
would you
before.
Compare him to?
What's that?
What meeting would you compare him to?
Got to be Stephen Wright, you know.
That's
yeah.
what I was thinking.
I was just
going to
say that.
He's funny, but he has like a deadpan delivery. Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
okay.
For me, the most amazing thing was that I got to meet Brian Caravu, Alex Talish, and Max Ginsburg for
that
the
was
first time.
Cool.
That was pretty freaking cool. I mean,
that was
cool. I've worked with Alex and Brian now for almost 2 years, 3 years, and it's just, it was cool. I mean, you know, Aaron and I were looking forward to it. Looking forward to tomorrow night. We have a tweet up in Green Bay at the Titletown Brewing Company. We're going to have some major Packer beat reporters, and maybe Aaron can get Aaron Rodgers to show up if he keeps needling him on Twitter. Everybody needle Aaron Rodgers on Twitter and Nick Barnett to try to get him to show up.
I invited Nick Barnett. It was great to meet you guys, too, by the way. I got to ask you, now that you've met all of us, has your perspective changed? Do you see us as more normal?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a question. I mean, 3 years you go by, you never meet anybody in person.
You know, I got
to
admit, it was like I knew you guys already. I swear to goodness.
Yeah, it was weird.
It wasn't that. It, the kind of same thing happened to me in Indy when I met like Wilde and Pelissero. It was just like, yeah, there they are.
Yeah,
I talked to them every day.
Yeah, that happened for me today, not only down in the thing, but when I was seeing the reporters too. And then in the press room, I actually made a joke, and Aaron was all like, you know, Aaron and Brian are all, like, professional. I got my I'm professional, too, but I got, like, my photography equipment and stuff on. And I just stopped. I looked at Paige, and I'm like, so this is it? This is the Packers press room? It was really funny because I felt like I knew everybody and I was supposed to be there, which, you know, that's always a good thing.
It's a nice feeling, definitely.
Aw, you guys finally found where you belong.
I think it kind of felt like that, let me tell you. It kind of felt like that, definitely.
And now we're not going to get to go there again.
And now we never get to go again.
Yeah. If only they'd let you back, right.
I know, precisely.
Well, yeah, now they have your picture. They can put that up and say, hey, don't let this guy back into the
That's
press.
Exactly what I told Corey.
That's what Aaron said.
I said, next time we come back, there are going to be pictures of us everywhere, and they're going to say, don't let these men in again.
And actually,
security,
I mean,
knows who you are.
We're going back to being fans this weekend for training camp, which is good. You know, I don't think Cheesehead TV should ever lose the fan perspective, no matter how many, like, reporters or me. I mean, I think it's our obligation and our responsibility to, you know, be the point of view of the fan, first and foremost.
Absolutely. We'll never stop. Great.
That's hard for me to do, you realize. I'm just too objective.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, you're so objective.
Well, hey, some of the big news here today, the thing that really blew me away was the Titletown Business District. How did this grab you guys?
I think it's a great idea.
There's a lot of towns like Durham. Like I'm from North Carolina, I lived there a long time, and Raleigh and Durham are doing this, and a lot of towns like have totally revitalized. You know, me personally, I think the only way that the Titletown thing works is if they talked about using the brand of the Green Bay Packers, but the way it works is to find old time Wisconsin. And not to be, like, try to make it hokey football. Like, in a way, like, I love how Lambeau Field is. But if Titletown District looks like Lambeau Field, I think that would be a travesty. And I think that would be wrong. And I think the more they can make it look like an old brewing place and just kind of give it, like, all the good things about Wisconsin. Cheese factory. Like, what if they put a cheese factory and a huge brewing, you know, microbrew that was, like, amazing? I mean, I know Titletown Brewing Company, but you know what I mean? Like, it needs to have an old Wisconsin feel, and I think it will be very successful.
And for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, Brian Caravu posted just a little while ago about Jason Weed's different comments about it and the entire idea over there on Cheesehead TV, so make sure to check that out.
And I am going to add some pictures, too, that we took. That they
there
came
you
up,
go.
They had some very – I'm going to add it to his post, but they had some generalities when they showed the pictures. You know, they were like a youth complex. What were some of the things? I mean, they were very, very general. They
well, and I like the idea of incorporating youth athletics and things like a Little League World Series and, you know, a Pop Warner Championship. I mean, that's great stuff. That's great stuff to be associated with, and it's and it will help increase. I mean, their goal is very lofty. They said what something right now it's like they get like
2.8 million right now.
Per year, and they want to up that to around 7 to 8 million visitors.
Which is
per year.
That's a big
jump. So you know they're going to have to make the most use of that land and area they can.
Especially when you
traffic.
Can't fly nonstop from New York to Green Bay or anywhere else. I mean
that's hard to do. Poor sticking point right there.
That's very hard to do. It's hard to get 8 million people to somewhere that doesn't have any nonstops.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Now they're talking from Ashland Street to Highway 41. Where are they actually talking about putting this Titletown? Where is that actually going to be?
You know, I haven't seen any specifics yet, and I haven't. They keep talking about surrounding areas.
Go ahead. My aunt Nancy told me they're buying a property in concentric circles. I mean, she told me that they've been buying property the last 3 years pretty aggressively.
Right.
That's what I understood, too, and they also mentioned today that they were definitely talking about across the street by the Don Hudson Center, the Resch Center,
right.
All that land over there across from the parking lot. So, you know, I'm assuming over by Favre Steakhouse and all that area is what they sound like.
Maybe they'll knock down Favre Steakhouse.
They should.
I mean,
we wouldn't eat there today.
At the end of the day, you need something. I mean, Omaha, my girlfriend is from Omaha, and they have the College World Series, which is a huge, huge, huge draw for them. And so if they got something big like that, it would do it. But if it was just like little, it's not going to bring the – they've got to have a couple more marquee things, marquee, not, you know, NFL, NBA type big things to really make it work, I think.
Do you really think Wisconsin can support that? I mean, is Green Bay a big enough community that's going to be able to support a year-round entertainment district?
Well, we're gonna find out. I mean, and he was talking about – you know, bringing in concerts as well. That's obviously Lambeau, but things of that nature. You know, the push is on, and that and you know, sadly, this ties right back into the CBA. You know, the whole reason they have to do this is to keep pace with guys like Jerry Jones, Daniel Snyder, and this feeds right into the players' argument about why is this really an issue of the players needing to give back 18%. Of their slice of the pie when the owners could easily fix this by sharing all of their revenue rather than just like the television revenue that's shared and the other little ancillary things. But so this is what, you know, the Packers need to do this. They need to do it. When they, you know, remodeled in 2003, when they had the renovation, you know, they shot up to the top 10 of revenues in the league. And we've seen that slowly decline every year. And, you know, Mark Murphy talked about it today. Their local revenue has flatlined the last 3 years. So this is a necessity. It's got to happen. And it's going to and the sooner it happens, the better.
I mean, if it doesn't happen, I mean, I'm not totally skeptical. I mean, I'm not totally saying they'll move to Los Angeles, but there is a good case to be made that they would move to Milwaukee or something like that before they moved out of the state. I mean, Milwaukee could definitely support that kind of bigness.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the other thing Mark Murphy said that was a little bit red meat that kind of bothered me because, and I'm not an expert on guaranteed money in sports, but from what I understand, the NFL, it doesn't pay guaranteed money like Major League Baseball and some of the other sports.
Not even close.
And he really, he had a little comment there where he was like, I think it was mostly alluding to Jolly and people like that, where we give these guys $1.2 million and then they can get injured. And a lot, you know, it's kind of red meat for the crowd because the crowd was like loving it. And I'm sitting there going, but wait a minute, you're one of the lowest paying guarantee money sports in the nation. And I don't think that's going to be even on the bargaining table at all. Like, he can say that's going to be on the bargaining table, but I doubt that. You
right,
know?
And that's echoing what the league's general counsel said on Mike and Mike a couple mornings ago. He specifically mentioned a player shooting himself in the leg and going to jail and keeping his bonus money, which is obviously a reference to Plaxico Burress.
Good.
I think Corey's absolutely right in that. That is complete red meat for a crowd. And Murphy and Goodell both had a couple of those kind of lines. You know, the rookie salary pool, that plays well to the crowd.
But at least the rookie pool, they can actually, like, that's some, like, for that, the NFL Players Union actually isn't going to fight that as hard because on the one hand, they're saying, why are the rookies making all this money when the veterans, you know, veterans should be making the money, and the veterans should speak up more for that, you know?
Oh, yes, and they do.
In that case, you know what I mean? Like with the guaranteed money, it's like all the players against the NFL. With the rookie pool, it's kind of like the rookies versus the players union veterans. You know, there's kind of like some play in there where it's like, why are they getting all the front-end money? Like,
well, and I think the case could be made is that's why you saw Mr. Bulaga come out this year to try and get in before the rookie, you know, the big rookie contracts in the first round go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he probably thought he was going to go a little higher than he did, but Lord knows I'm happy to have.
Yeah. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Exactly.
Hey, what about the enhanced season? What did they talk about today about that?
Well, Aaron has a whole thing on that.
I do. It just, you know, it's a lot more generalities. And funnily enough, I got the chance to ask Roger Goodell about it when he was in the media room. And, you know, I mentioned that, you know, both Charles Woodson and Aaron Rodgers, as well as a couple other players around the league, have come out pretty forcefully against the 18-game season, regular season. And his response was that, you know, that was one of the reasons why he's making this pilgrimage to various training camps to try and educate the various players about what they're trying to do. And he specifically said though that he had talked to several of those individuals. Now he didn't say who he talked to, so I'd be interested to know if he actually did speak with Charles Woodson or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he made it sound like he did. He definitely did.
Exactly.
Interesting.
You know, it's. I mean, it goes back and forth on this, and I just think that, and Brian Caribou had put it perfectly today when we were talking afterwards. He said, "I don't understand why a 17-game season with 3 preseason games isn't talked about." And maybe that's because that's the obvious end game here, you know,
yeah.
Because, again, this was another big red meat moment when, you know, I think, you know, it was Goodell or Murphy was talking about, you know, no one likes preseason games. We've heard you, and we don't want to have, you know, it's obvious we don't need more than 2. And, of course, you know, fans eat that up. They love hearing that, you know, and they've got a huge round of applause. But what they don't say or don't talk about is how that's going to affect, you know, guys going forward, playing 2 more games late in the year and pushing the Super Bowl back, and how many football games these guys will have, full football games these guys will have played by the time, you know, especially for the teams that go deep into the playoffs, by the time end of January, early February rolls around.
Well,
but I will...
you made a good point, and Alex did too today, is that fans are saying they don't want more preseason games, but the NFL is equating that to mean they want more games. But
right.
That's not necessarily the truth. What fans don't want crappy entertainment that they have to watch that means nothing. That doesn't mean they want more games. And the NFL's kind of twisting that. That's the spin there.
Well,
you know?
Another thing, I don't think, you know, they're not going to – they want to stay within the 20-game framework. You're not going to get fewer preseason games and not get more regular season games. But what Goodell did make – he did make a concession in the fact that the move to the 18, the enhanced season – has to be done in a comprehensive way, meaning you've got to look at the 80-man roster limit, which will obviously go away. He talked about a developmental league. He talked about possibly removing OTAs, things like that. So, you know, they at least acknowledge that, you know, these guys, they are human beings. You know, they're playing a violent game, and there's got to be things done to try and minimize and help them. And obviously it'll all... In the end, it's going to come down to some kind of monetary concession where the league will say, look, we can give you, we've been asking for this 18% give back. Let's make it a 10% give back or a 5% give back, and then we can have our extra games. Or they'll say, you know, take the entire 18% off the table if you play these two extra games. So basically, in the end, they'll get them to agree to the two extra games without getting any more money. That's my hunch, anyway. But and I think that's their plan. But we'll see how it plays out.
It'll be interesting.
What strikes me as kind of hilarious is that you know, they talk about how, well, nobody likes the preseason games. The fans don't like the preseason games, and yet now they've come out with NFL's come out with a package where you can watch all of the preseason games streamed on NFL.com for $40.
For $40. And you know what's sad about that,
yeah.
Holly, is I'll be paying it. Thank you very much.
Of course.
I don't think NFL fans have a problem watching preseason games. I think they have a problem paying $83 a seat to watch them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the biggest problem is season ticket holders are like, or when the Minnesota Vikings try this crap where, oh, yeah, you want the Favre-Packers game, or Packer fans want the Favre-Packers game, oh, you got to buy this preseason game too.
Yeah, I think Max Ginsburg was talking about that today, how he had to
buy
some. He was trying to get a ticket for a regular season game, and they're holding him up for a preseason game. I mean, that's just asinine. Because, first of all, it's just the Vikings are asinine in general, as we know. But, but you know, here's a club who couldn't sell out a playoff game until the last moment. So of course they can't even begin to think about selling out the preseason games. You know, so yeah, it's a real problem just because, like Mark Murphy said today, in the 80s, guys weren't doing OTAs. They weren't working out in the off season, not anywhere near as much as the guys do now. So they kind of needed all four of those games to get into shape. They kind of ramped up as they went along. Now, I mean, you follow these guys on Twitter. They're working out all the time. They're going to, you know, they're doing it in groups. They're doing it in special places, special trainings. And so they're totally on top of it. They're just machines. And they come to camp. They need two, 3 weeks tops, and they're ready to go. So, like I said, no one likes it. I think you'll see some kind of reduction. And they said that the earliest that could happen is 2012. So we'll see.
Speaking of putting fans in the seat, there was sure a lot of talk today about that south end zone. In fact, what stuck to me the most, if they're thinking of getting 8,000 more people up into that south end zone and creating what they coined a wall of sound. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I'm actually sad to see. I think it's one of those inevitabilities. Yeah, no, I understand that the allure of it, getting a full bowl around the stadium, but I love looking out at the sky, the clouds going by. And I know that's a romantic notion.
It's
got
true.
To
I
do
mean,
with football,
look
but,
at the Denver game where Amon Green ran 99 yards for the touchdown, meaningless game that I believe Aaron was at, where and the game where the Vikings were knocked out of the playoffs, where they played Arizona, it was the same day, and the sun's going down. I mean, you watch that NFL highlight clip.
It's a magical moment.
That's
what I mean. It's like, again, it's totally romanticized. It's got nothing to do with nothing. But I like the fact that it was open like that. But I totally understand that they need, you know, every bit of revenue. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to hear just how much of a wall, quote-unquote, wall of sound is truly created. you know, Lambeau has never been a huge, like, noise, you know, factory. It's not like Kansas City. It's not like Denver. It's just, it's the type of fans we have. It's just, they're nowhere near as loud as when you go into other stadiums. So
I mean, within 5 years, Lambeau Field will be called something at Lambeau Field. There's no doubt in my mind.
Do you think so, really?
It's $20 to $30 million. The Packers profited $5 to $10 million this year.
Yeah.
They'll do everything until they get to that point. But, look, I mean, Mark Murphy said in today, he said, or Jason Weed said, but all of them said it. Basically, this is where we were in the 90s and 2000. It's like the same story repeats itself. The local revenues kind of stagnate, so we got to come up with something else. And eventually that thing's going to be naming.
Well,
you know, I can't divide that. I think that there is an easy solution, Corey, and I think that they've been talking about it on Twitter, and that is if there was another sale of shares,
mm-hmm.
I think if they went back out to the fans and they said, hey, we're stuck between adding the, you know, the Target, you know, field
True.
At Lambeau or whatever, or, you know, pony up some money. I think that
I'll
fans
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Holly. That will work if they can win another Super Bowl quickly and then turn around and then do the big ask. But it would be very interesting
True.
If, like, 5-10 years down the road. I mean, look at the referendum. Look how hard Harlan had
yeah.
to work for that.
And
I mean,
not only that, but we talked about this today. Their slush fund is $138 million. That's not enough for 1 year of payroll. That's not enough for their $168 million players, not alone their administrative costs. So, I mean, the Packers, they talk about an escrow fund, but they don't really have one.
Yeah.
They have to remember, too. I think the Brown County people, too, they're a little tired of paying that extra half
yep.
percent sales tax.
Yep.
Oh, my God, are they?
If you were to go back out there and say, hey, oh, by the way, we got the 0.5% and now we're going to make it 6% or
mm-hmm.
we want another referendum, I think it's going to be a tough one to pass.
It's always tricky. I mean, people equate the people of Wisconsin with Packer fans, and not all of them are. I mean, I know that's heresy to say, but it's true. You know, that's why Harlan was such a gift to this organization. And Tom Silverstein absolutely nailed it on Twitter this morning. I said, Bob Harlan's in attendance. This is all. He's keeping a low profile, but this is all really in honor of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. The man saved the franchise. I mean, both on and off the field. And I don't think that gets nearly enough play.
Can't disagree with that.
No.
All right.
They have some interesting suggestions on the chat for stadium names. We've got Lambeau Field brought to you by Velveeta. We've got Hillshire Farm Field.
Hey, Corey, these are good ideas for sponsors. You should look them up.
We've got Fleet Farm Stadium.
That's my vote, Fleet Farm Field.
Jopco Stadium. So got some interesting suggestions on there.
Funny. Oh, Brett Favre Stadium, Brett Favre Steakhouse.
Alex.
Speaking of that, what was up today with the crowd? They brought up Favre. And it was silent, except for one guy named Alex Talich, who let out a huge boo. I'm serious. They mentioned Favre.
Well, I
couldn't
boo because I was in the press
from the crowd.
I was trying to be professional. Otherwise, I would have booed.
I booed, and I was the only one. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mentioned it on Twitter. I was shocked. I think the healing has begun, Alex. You need to join the crowd.
Well, here's the thing. They were doing the NFL Network show with Roger Goodell, and they let a fan who had a half Viking, half Packer shirt on in the atrium.
Yeah, that was wrong.
I mean, you said, talk about booing Favre. You let him soil the atrium like that?
Soil it, he did.
In what context did they mention Favre, Alex?
It was really passing. It was like literally like from something and Brett Favre and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like
the Viking.
It wasn't even that. It was, I don't know. It was,
yeah,
no,
what was
I remember he was talking about the Packers, and he was talking about something that happened when Favre was with the Packers. And he said, and Brett Favre, I think he like won the Super Bowl or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
okay.
If this gets dropped last year, oh, my gosh, that place goes nuts. Just nuts. But, like, this year, nothing. I was shocked. I got to tell you, I was absolutely shocked. I just, just a year ago, that place would have gone nuts. So I don't know. I thought that was a good sign. I really did.
I wonder if it might have to do with the fact that you're at a shareholders meeting and maybe a different type of fan at the shareholders meeting?
That's possible.
It could
that's
be.
Possible. That's possible. Although,
don't get me started on shareholders, Jersey L. Okay? Don't get me started on Packers stock because it's a crock of crap. So.
You just had to go there, didn't you?
Come on.
Well, we all know that.
You can't sell it. You can't trade it. You don't call it stock. I'm sorry. Stock can be sold and traded and bought, okay?
Hey, it looks nice on a plaque on the wall. That's
it
all.
Does, and I wish I had some, and it's really about jealousy, so there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Did you guys buy anything from the pro shop today?
Not yet.
No, because I was in official work mode, so I will save that for the weekend, but I will definitely.
Hey,
They have exclusive
shareholder merchandise, supposedly. Do you know that?
Yes, they do. I've heard.
Okay.
All I know is I can't wait to get as many of those throwback jerseys as I possibly can.
You know what they want for a throwback jersey, by the way, in case anyone's looking to buy one? $189.
Bring
is that
it.
With the cape or not?
I get paid on the first. I get paid on the first, so that's perfect.
Yeah, that's just about it. yeah, we went in there with something else. It was a great day all the way around. I mean, if you haven't got out to a shareholders meeting, people, you know, it's not the most exciting time. You're not getting information that's going to excite you. But just the experience and to be there and to have all the bigwigs in front of you, it was it's something else that everyone should check out.
It's true. It's one of the few times you can actually sit in my grandfather's seats without buying season tickets. So.
I was in the front row. That was the only time I will ever be in the front row.
You know what I found really, really fascinating was that Kevin Green's wife sang the national anthem.
She sang the national anthem better than most people ever do at major events.
That is
yeah.
very true. But
she was
and I have that on video. I'll post that.
But here's my thing. Why are we singing the national anthem?
Because we're American.
Yeah.
Why not?
But it's not a sporting event.
You don't
why,
sing the national anthem
singing?
Like every day when you get in the shower?
Nobody needs to do that. That's my point. And you know when else we don't do it? We don't do it at our shareholders meeting. So, I don't know. I was just
it's like an assembly at school. You know, you all get together.
I just thought it was weird. I don't know.
There's no way we're calling it Danny Golkey Stadium. I'll tell you that right now.
No. Although I have to echo Corey's sentiments. She was fantastic. She did a great job.
And I got a really good picture of Kevin Green too. I'm gonna post.
You did.
She did a great job.
Got to get that up on the blog somehow.
I also do have the infamous video of Murphy asking Goodell if he preferred brats or hamburgers, and Goodell answering that he prefers brats with beer.
But he did decline
about
we'll
have
cheese
that,
curds. He did decline to answer the cheese curds question.
Yes, he did.
He did.
Brilliant. I don't know what that is. What is that?
What is that?
That's our Twitter call here. Mr. Nagler.
Yeah.
Got to ask you a little bit about some interchange between yourself and another Aaron yesterday on Twitter. You want to explain what happened there?
Explain myself? Well,
explain. Yes, young man.
Yeah, exactly.
You want me to read off the transcript so everybody knows what we're talking about?
Well, sure. If you got it there, why not?
Go ahead.
I got it handy. So, all right. So basically, Aaron writes an article and posts it on Cheesehead TV, where he proceeds to pick apart something about Aaron Rodgers, and you know, to his credit, he does say, "Look, I'm just nitpicking here, okay." So, in any case, that wasn't bad enough. Aaron decides he's got to send a link to Aaron Rodgers about it. Say, hey, look, I praise you. Now I got to send you criticism.
Well,
I just
think that's fair. If you're going to send someone the good stuff, you got to send them the bad stuff, too.
All right. So that was interesting in itself. Then on top of that, maybe even more interesting was that Rodgers replies right back. You know, he read the article right away, but he says, well, interesting basing an entire article on one play, however poor that play may have been. So Aaron Nagler replies, just an example. There are a few others, which I'm sure you're aware. Again, I know it's a nitpick. Just call it as I see it. Rogers comes back, as do I. I'm my biggest critic, and that plays some others definitely sucked. But I think you're a better writer than that. So Aaron's retort is, well, clearly the Packers don't share your appraisal of my writing prowess. But that means a lot coming from QB1. So anyway, that was the discourse. I just wanted everybody to at least know what went on. And now, Aaron, what do you want to say about that?
I don't know. I just I tell you what, it's the talk of the beat writers, though.
True. We talked to Jason Wilde about it.
They're loving it. No, it's simple. I mean, it's just like you just pointed out, it's a nitpicky thing. But my whole contention is that, you know, you hear the mantra, improve from within, so much from this team, and everyone expects it from first and second year players, and that's perfect, and that's great, and I think we will see a lot of that. I think Brandon Underwood will really surprise some people. I think Pat Lee will surprise some people. I don't think Jared Bush is going to surprise anybody, but those are the usual suspects that everyone thinks about. But what no one talks about is that the blue chip players are not done progressing. I mean, there's no way in God's green earth Charles Woodson can play better than he did last year. But now watch him go do it. But, you know, if you can have an Aaron Rodgers, if you can have a Greg Jennings, a JerMichael Finley, a Ryan Grant, these guys can up their game even a little bit, this is going to be a juggernaut of a team that just cannot be beat. The greatest people in any walks of life, I mean, it's not just football, but just in any walk of life that I've ever witnessed or seen up close, they're the people who are never satisfied. They always want to get better. They're always looking for what they can do to improve. And that's what these guys need to do. And that's my whole point of looking at this. And I, like I said, it's a nitpick, but it's a real thing. And the part about one play, yes, it's one play. It's an example of what I'm talking about, which is, you know, locking onto guys on a three-step drop for too long. You just can't do it, especially when your backside block is going to be really short by design.
What do you think about Rodgers coming back at you so quickly? Do you think he was being oversensitive there?
I think a little bit. I think probably a little bit. But what's interesting is that he read it right away.
Yeah.
He clearly read it right away.
Exactly.
And I think he kind of just outed himself as a regular Cheesehead TV reader.
Right.
Because
let's put it this way. He was a heck of a lot nicer to you than he was to Kornheiser, so you're a little higher on his totem pole.
But just the whole, you're a better writer than that. You know, well, how would you know? Unless you've read my stuff. So,
exactly.
You sent him the praise about how he got hit all the time and still stayed up. So maybe he's
comparing
those two.
That's it. Your other post was, you're a much better writer when you're praising me. See, that's the idea. And I don't know if you saw the follow-up this morning, but because I saw him tweet this morning, and I know he's in town, and I said, how about we get together for an off-the-record chat? And he wrote, again, right back, ha, 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 off the record. That's my favorite line from reporters. And I just wrote back to him, but I'm not a reporter. Because here's the thing. Jason Wilde was saying, oh, yeah, we've got, you know, I had kind of a sticky back and forth with him about the whole pad thing and Dez Bryant and rookie hazing, because Jason Wilde was, like, totally against it, whatever. And I said, yeah, Jason, but you can go into the locker room on Saturday and talk to him about it and explain yourself. You know, I've got no access. So now the guy is just thinking I'm a total jerk. I don't know. So I would love to sit down with him and try to explain where I'm coming from and understand where he's coming from. That's all.
You just want to meet him.
I hope it happens.
Yeah.
Well, a couple months ago, yeah, I probably did just want to meet him. But now I have a sincere desire to, like, explain myself. But that's it.
If you need a ride, you call me.
Very good.
Well, listen, we have about 50 minutes left of show here tonight, and why don't we open up our phone lines? We have Corey Benke and Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV joining us here on Cheesehead Radio tonight. Phone number is 917-932-8401. If you'd like to call in with a question for Aaron, Corey, or any of us, feel free to do it. Just remember to hit the 1 once you call in, and we'll keep talking.
So if people are
waiting
call?
For somebody to call. We had some breaking news just came in about Nick Barnett got his wet wipes for his behind for training camp like he did last year.
So. It's not like an annual – that's an annual tweet, isn't it? Because he did
it is. What is this fetish with bowel movements anyway? I just don't
Was that on the AP wire? Where'd you get that?
Straight from Nick Barnett, and Mike Neal told him to pick him up back, too. He'll catch him later. I guess he gets sweaty bum at training camp or something. Yeah, that is an annual tweet now.
That's an annual tweet, man. I'm telling you. Every year he does it.
Did you find it weird to see Wayne Larrabee standing there while they're playing Wayne Larrabee talking? Wayne Larrabee.
I thought of that. I was like, God, that's got to be such a surreal experience. Because he was sitting with us in the media part, and then all of a sudden this video comes on with his voice. Like, that's got to be a trip. How could it not be?
I thought that I was standing there watching the Jumbotron. Like, he's right in front of me, and I'm just thinking, boy, you know, there he is. Listening, he's just reading his paper like it's nothing. Maybe he's used to it. But
I mean, at this point, yeah, he's used to it. He sees his voice. Even on SportsCenter, they use all the highlights. They use all the radio stuff.
The local radio calls, right? Yeah, that's probably true.
It was surreal as a fan, though, to sit there and have him right in front of you and then hear it calling the replay on the Jumbotron. It was cool. Why is no one calling our show?
We're on. Come on. Don't you listen to Transplants? No one calls.
What?
Kidding me?
I call.
We
all
call.
Call.
Everyone who calls our show is already on.
Yeah, I know.
That's true.
I have a question.
Hey, one
last
question for you.
Are you coming to the tweet up tomorrow night or what?
I'm going to be there.
All right.
Middletown Brewery, 7-9. Good to see you again.
Nice.
Saw you last year at the Viking game. That rocked.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. Cool.
So what is a good? How many people do you think are going to be at this tweet up? By the way,
I don't know. Alex thinks 20.
No, I said 20 would be a success.
Oh,
I think it's going to be more than that.
Judging by the number of
more than 20,
I'd say 4.
Yeah, you asked me what I thought a successful tweet up would look like, and I said 20 plus people. I think you're going to do better than that. I think you're going to be surprised, but we'll see.
We'll see.
It'll be a good time no matter what.
If anyone shows up other than my family, I'll be impressed.
Well, yeah, that's true. Some people, I think I might have 10 people from my family, so.
There you go. See? Perfect.
That's almost worth going alone, actually.
Yeah, one thing
from
Ted Thompson today really intrigued me was Ted Thompson took accountability. I believe he said that word. It was his accountability. He was responsible for some of the behavior issues.
Mm-hmm, Jolly.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that? Jolly.
Yeah,
and
it was an interesting moment. And the specific thing he said is that I'm responsible for anything that brings tarnish to the Green Bay Packers. I thought that was a great moment, actually. He didn't expand on that, and he didn't get into any of the specific cases. But it was nice talk,
but he's not responsible. I mean, Johnny Jolly's a grown man, for God's sakes, you know?
Right.
Underwood's a grown man, you know?
And Thompson is responsible for bringing them to Green Bay.
Sure. I mean,
it was a different
head
toss.
You know, there's no way.
Well, I just thought it was an interesting sentiment, and it was an interesting choice to address it that way.
I certainly wouldn't make him accountable for it, but I think he is accountable for now what happens from this point on. And it was interesting that Goodell was the one who came in and said, Joey, you're now suspended indefinitely. That is the responsibility. But it was interesting that he came forward and said, no, this is my fault. And I was like, well, no, I don't quite see that. And I don't know how you guys felt about that.
No, I think it's
gratuitous more than anything else, but it was nice to hear.
But here's the thing: if it was his responsibility, why didn't he fire Jolly indefinitely, and why did he let the NFL do it?
Right.
I mean, that's the question I would ask him.
You could definitely tell someone's been working with Ted, though, because what came out of his mouth today is so much different than anything.
Maybe he's been working
with
Ari Fleischer, because you know the Packers like to hire that guy.
Someone told Ted, hey, you got to do a better job, and he certainly was trying. I'll give him that.
Maybe they hired Eric Single, the writer from Letterman, who's on Twitter.
Speaking of Twitter and social media, there you go.
Phone.
I think we got somebody here.
Hey, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Who's with us tonight?
Jersey Al talked me into it. It's Ida.
Hey, Ms. Ida.
Hey, Colleen.
Woo.
Hey. I have
women
to call her. Nobody call her ma'am.
Thank you, Holly.
You're welcome.
I have a procedural question. When you guys were talking about, you know, Ted making that comment about apologizing for the, you know, being the Packers having a problem or whatever, does he know when these guys fail a drug test, or is that a confidential thing?
It depends. He will know. He will get a notification from the league once there is a once they've gone through I think it's the third level. But the first two levels are confidential within the NFL.
So if you actually have 20, like Chewy said, when would he find
there's
out?
There's no way on God's green earth.
No way. Right.
Drug
I know.
There's no way. There is just no conceivable way that that happened.
It made me think that he'd been carrying this around for a while, and he's probably, you know, I mean, he probably feels bad that he picked somebody he thought would be very talented, and, you know, the guy obviously have a problem.
Yeah. I can see that. There's a reason that Jolly fell to the fifth or sixth round, whatever it was. And one of those reasons was character concerns. And Thompson's done an excellent job of kind of steering away from that element. Now, Johnny's got talent. You know, that's clear as day.
Well, when you say Johnny's got talent, that's something that is a huge gaping. Where is the defensive end talent going to come from?
Well, we're going to start finding out on Saturday when we see Mr. Mike Neal and C.J. Wilson put on some pads.
And Justin Harrell.
And some wet wipes.
Oh, sorry. He's
I don't count Justin Harrell.
Oh, sorry.
Exist to me until he actually does something.
Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling in. Good
Thanks
question.
Thanks for calling. First female caller ever. Woo!
Oh, my gosh. We are moving.
I think that's because
we're getting...
Mm-hmm.
Corey brings them out.
Well, she's been talking about it for a while. She just keeps having excuses.
She thinks I'm mean on Twitter.
Hey, we gotta give Colleen a swag rating. What would we give her for that?
Oh.
I think it's a clear 89.
Think so?
Yeah, I've met her in person. She's got quite a presence, I think. Definitely high 80s.
There you go.
Okay.
I just want to let
Michael should be a little intimidated when he meets her.
Yep.
I just want to let my fellow Wisconsinites know that there is a Lake Winnebago fishing report. The perch are biting. Repeat, the perch are biting.
White perch or yellow perch?
Yellow perch on Winnebago.
Yellow perch. Okay.
That is fantastic.
That's from my uncle who works.
I want to let everybody know that my lovely oldest daughter is here in Wisconsin with me. And she's been listening to the show on her headphones, and she is now asleep. So we've done a fantastic job,
perfect job
of producing a soporific effect and lulling her right to bed. So I thank you all. That was fantastic.
Well, and
you're welcome.
The good news for this, Aaron, is that Cheesehead Radio is now available on iTunes.
If you
can download this, and then anytime you need her to go to sleep, you just put it in the iPod, put headphones on.
Put it on repeat.
Yep.
No, I'm dead serious. I'm gonna take a picture of this and like tweet it to you guys because it's the most adorable thing you've ever seen.
Mission accomplished.
There you go.
We bring it every week.
This is actually the whole reason I decided to come on the show because, you know, I needed help in this area. Fantastic.
Little girl, too much for Aaron Nagler.
Yeah, precisely. Well, you know, she's been out running around all day. It's a good thing. Can't do that in New York.
Yeah. Hey, we've got about 5 minutes left here. Still time for someone to call in. Once again, 917-932-8401. Little time for you to call in with a question. What happened with the whole Time Warner discussion today? Did you catch some of that, guys?
That got heated all around all day. Not only in at Lambeau, but in the NFL Network. A guy came on, and Aaron actually tweeted as me tonight about that, which was funny. But I had the same sentiments.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm sorry, Corey. I had your phone because my phone had died, and I didn't realize it was in your personal profile and not in the Chiefs.
I know, it was brilliant. But what you tweeted, I actually believe, because this whole direct, this is ridiculous. I mean,
but this kid, I mean, he could not have been more than like 20 years old. He got up, and you know, and these, you know, fans were getting a chance to really ask Goodell some real questions. But this kid asked him about the standoff with the NFL Network and some cable providers, mostly Time Warner. And he just would not let it go. Like, he kept asking follow-up questions and follow-up questions. And at one point, Fran Charles, the guy who was, like, hosting it from NFL Network, had to kind of step in and tell the kid to stop. And the kid wouldn't stop, and he kept going. And, you know, and then it was great, because at one point, Goodell said, oh, let me ask you, do you have NFL Network? And the guy said, no! Why are they not so upset? It was great. It was fantastic. I didn't get a chance to watch, because as well, my parents do not have NFL Network where I'm staying, so I didn't get a chance to see the airing of the program, but I just wanted to see if they kept any of him in, because he was fantastic.
But you know what, just to bring this back around, if you want to know about the NFL, okay, and what they really believe, look at what they did with Time Warner. How many years has it been now since anybody who has any cable network doesn't have that? So now we think that all of a sudden they're going to come and to the NFL Players Association and be like, yeah, it's okay, we're going to give you, you know, we're going to have a contract. No, they're going to play hardball. They've been playing hardball with the cable companies forever because they don't want to give their content away for the first couple years. I mean, it's ridiculous. Don't get me started.
That's all their news that's fit to print on that. Good Lord.
But think about it. I mean, it is symbolic. I mean, how they have approached this entire situation and how much they actually care about the fans and the fans seeing their network. I mean,
I hear you. And I think it's ridiculous. And I think the NFL's position is ridiculous in this aspect. But I've gone over that so many times. It's
I know.
Just, I'm boring myself with it.
Actually, my favorite guy who brought it up, now Greg, damn it, I can't remember his name. Greg Rosenthal. Love that guy. He brought it up. He brought it up last week. And
oh yeah, because he lives in Manhattan and
exactly.
He moved to a place where he can't get DirecTV.
Mike Neal just served Nick Barnett.
Thing by how?
On the side. Well, there was a whole conversation going on back to the wet wipes. I can't get off the wet wipes for some reason, but Mike Neal asked Nick Barnett, since he's at the store, to pick him up some wet wipes, too, and he'd catch him back. And Barnett's like, well, shouldn't be the rookie be picking these up for all of us? And Neal says, well, no, I'll be taking a block so the other guys can run free.
There you go.
Wow.
Nice answer.
Hey, that brings up something very interesting. I think it was back in June, Dan, I think his last name is Grazanio, I don't know how to pronounce it, but he writes for Fan House, and he did a piece about it's Jersey Al's favorite piece because it, you know, talked about how good the Packers are going to be. He talked about how good the Packers defense was going to be in the second year under Dom Capers, and there was a very interesting line in there where he says Capers specifically mentioned Mike Neal as being very important to what they want to do. Now, flash forward a couple months to Nick Barnett tweeting to Neal saying, are you ready, Rook? You know a lot is riding on you. We're counting on you. You ready to get blockers off your boy? You know, so I see that's starting to sense a theme here that Neal is pretty, you know, if not intricate yet, he's definitely, they're expecting great things from him, or at least big things, and Lord knows he is big, but I'm very anxious to see this kid in the trenches and exactly what, you know, the plan is there, because they seem to think the world of this guy.
Interesting.
You got a guy who can...
Oops, the boo-boo-bella.
That was the boo-boo-bella.
Make this comparison.
Letting us know our time has come to an end tonight.
Oh,
I know.
I was going to
Aaron's daughter's going to wake up.
We've got a cheesehead party here tonight. But we will be available next week, same time, same channel, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, right here on Cheesehead Radio with another guest blogger coming in. And we're going to have something to talk about next week, guys. We actually got training camp. We're going to have positional battles and how people are doing. This is what Cheesehead Radio is all about. Please check out our blogs. You can find Alex and Holly, Corey, and Aaron at CheeseheadTV.com.
can also check out Holly at BrentFarve.com, Jersey Al at JerseyAl.com, and myself at TundraVision.com. Do not forget, if you are in the Green Bay area, Titletown Brewery, tomorrow night, August 30th, from 7 until 9, there is a tweet up with many of the Cheesehead family all in attendance. The Cheesehead Radio Hotline, 316-CH-RADIO. Leave us a message. You might play on the air. You cannot listen live because you're not at a computer. Just dial 917-932-8401. You can listen right over your phone speakers. Just don't press 1. If you want to listen just later on your iPod, Cheesehead Radio, now available on iTunes. Want to give a special shout-out to Found in Idaho, Colleen, for calling in tonight. And, of course, to our fantastic guest bloggers, Aaron Nagler and Corey Benke from Cheesehead TV, for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Good to have you. Great show. Check out Cheesehead TV for tons of great news over the weekend. We're out.